There's a lot of hiring going on. So there's been a high need for teachers and a high need for some specialty areas. And so definitely a lot of hiring. I know that our districts are doing a lot of the same. And then just getting ready for the beginning of the year.
Are any of these, I assume then these districts are doing that individually, or do you have any job fairs perhaps coming up?
So they're doing it individually. The schools actually have all of their job postings on our website. So if anyone wanted to check that out, they could go to the ESC website, which is www.esclc.org, and we have job postings for our organization as well as every school district out there. And they're always looking for substitutes, especially. We do hiring for a lot of the substitutes for a lot of the districts. We do teachers, but if you went on our website, you'd be able to find the positions that they're looking for, including some people think of substitute teachers, but there's also a need for substitute custodians, substitute cafeteria workers, substitute bus drivers. Those are all in need because our folks get sick sometimes, and we don't want them to be around our children when they're sick. And so it's important that we have people who can step in when needed.
Do the rates of pay vary from one district to another, or are they relatively the same?
They do vary, but they're not grossly different. It could be in terms of the positions that I mentioned, like bus drivers and cafeteria workers, might fluctuate by a dollar or two. Substitute pay on the low end, some of our districts are around $125, $130 a day, ranging up until about $180 if you're working in Lorain, or $185, I believe, if you're in Lorain. So,
for someone who's never been a substitute teacher before, thinking about doing this, what kind of credentials or backgrounds or experience do they need?
So it used to be that you would need a bachelor's degree in order to become a substitute teacher, but it now is up to the school district to determine their criteria. The budget bill this year gave the districts that ability. So you'd have to check with each district, but the vast majority still require a bachelor's degree, but there are a few that require a high school diploma or an associate's degree.
We're talking with Franco Gallo from the Educational Service Center of Lorain County today. And Franco, anything new from the state? I know every now and then the state says do this, don't do that. Anything new for this school year?
Essentially the schools, I think, came out relatively unscathed. There's going to be a lot of change at the state level. They're talking about they're going to reorganize the Department of Education to become the Department of Education and Workforce. And they're doing that intentionally because right now there are a number of jobs that are available that don't require a college degree. And so they want to make sure that there is a big focus on our kids not feeling like they have to go to college. It's not that there's anything wrong with that, but there are a number of places that will hire kids right out of high school. They can make a good wage, and they can they'll pay for their school because they have specific skills that they would like them to learn. Even if they went to college, they would want to train them anyway. So they're saying, hey, let us train you, and then if we want you to learn more, we will send you to LCC, or we'll send you to a local university to be trained. So there's a big change at the state level with that. And then a couple of good things is that students who are on reduced lunch, there's thresholds for students to receive free lunches and reduced lunches. This year, if you previously received a reduced lunch, it will be free this year. So they basically raised the threshold for free lunches to include those who were on reduced lunch, which is 185% of the poverty level. And they are implementing a program where if you will finish in the top 5% of your class, they're going to give $5,000 scholarships to those kids to attend a university here in Ohio. So those are some positive changes that are happening.
School safety is in the news. Recently, the story out of Vermilion of how they're installing some technology related to that sort of thing. I understand also you kind of do things at your site as far as education, having meetings. You have enough space that groups come in and gather and they get some sort of extra training on different types of topics, correct?
Yes. So some people say, what does an ESC do? We do a little bit of everything, and we do provide training for teachers. We provide training for administrators, and we provide training for SROs. And so there's a new law that School districts, you know, have to have threat assessment training, and so we have folks from the state and some of our own staff here working with our teams of teachers at our district or administrators, and we have our SROs who are out here. So, yeah, school safety is a top priority, and we provide the training for that.
So SRO, I know there's a lot of language. Is this like a resource officer or something, or school resource officer?
School resource officer,
got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I know. I'm so used to my acronyms here that I got to remember that the general public may not know what I'm talking
about. Well, what is EMIS then? I'm looking on your different types of things. There's all sorts of shorthand for different things.
Yeah, EMIS, so that's our management system for providing data to the state. So when the state, when we take our school tests, we input how they do on there. The state collects at the department various things that they want to know what the state, the school districts are doing. And so, you know, everything from attendance data to graduation rates, how many college credits kids earn while they're in high school, all sorts of things. So, yeah, that's another acronym in a system that we have.